Hey, what it do, what the business is?
It's another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holler at your boy Animal Brown, Animal underscore Brown, if you're looking for me on social media.
Yes, sir. Another quarantined day in the books. Getting restless yet?
Nah, man, I'm straight. I'm cool with this, honestly.
People that don't like people are cool with this. Exactly. Can't tell me you don't miss anything.
Exactly.
That is funny. People like really don't like people. I just, like I said last week, I really just missed the opportunity to go places.
For sure.
I will take advantage of a lot more shit, I feel like, now, since you had to sit through not being able to do so. You know what I mean?
Man, as long as you can focus, man, you can actually get a lot of shit done right now.
That is a fact. That
low
is
key.
A definite fact. I am Spike Lou, though, on the great Instagrams, Tweet Streets, and the social medias where you'll find me. Also, check us out on Facebook, too, man.
Man, please do. Facebook Rap Chat, man. Get that popping. It's been quiet lately, man. We finna get it back shaking, though. Don't worry about a thing.
Yeah, they messed up the order, shit.
That, man, the Facebook group algorithm is trash now.
Holler at Zuckerberg about that. Give the people your socials.
Man, Animal underscore Brown, if you're looking for the kid, man. Instagram, Twitter, and Snap. We got an action-packed episode, man. Your boy Future dropped. It's gonna be fun.
Action-packed.
Absolutely. On Deck episode 349. We have a special announcement on 350 later on in the episode. Don't worry about a thing.
Yeah, make sure y'all catch that.
On today's episode, Young Thug is in more beef. Master P is mad. And we review Future's latest album. But first, let's talk Swiss Beats, man. While speaking to Joe Budden on IG Live, Swiss explains he feels current hip-hop artists should pay taxes to hip-hop founders. He said, quote, from Kool Herc, as well as Melly Mel, Grandmaster Flash, and Sugar Hill Gang, we need to pay taxes to the creators of hip-hop that gave us freedom of speech to go forward, end quote. Are you here for the hip-hop tax benefit in the OGs?
I am here for it, and I definitely agree with Twist Beats. But we wouldn't be talking about this if there wasn't any controversy around it. People jumped down Swiss Beat throat behind this because, in my opinion, like I said, it's a great point. But when you're somebody like Swiss, people seeing the house, you're married to Alicia Keys, like people seeing the car collection, like Swiss ain't hurt.
Absolutely right? Not.
So when you're in his position, you don't go and say, hey, I'm looking for people to help me do this. Like, Swiss is a boss. Look like, this is what I got going on. And I've pledged this much. You guys would like to contribute to be a part of this. Cool, if not, you're lame. And he did come out and clarify a little later that that is what he was saying, that he wanted these things to happen. So he was saying he was going to start doing them. But I think people took it as, for lack of a better term, him starting to GoFundMe for old rappers.
Right.
And ain't nobody here for that. But I personally am here for the message in which he said, like, the people that started this, the people who were the forefathers of hip hop, they should definitely be taken care of, just to even at the very least make hip hop as reputable a genre as the other ones out there. Like, you see the older acts of U2, and you see older acts like the Rolling Stones, people that are still able to tour, make a lot of money, and still be heralded as some of the goats of their genre. Hip-hop should extend that same thing. So I do agree with what he said.
Yeah, I'm with Swiss on this all the way. It was taken a little bit out of context when he first said it. I did watch when he was on IG Live with Fat Joe, and he was able to give a little more detail. And I'm super here for it. And this is why I'm here for it with this person, though, because Swiss is walking the walk and not just talking the talk with the Versus series. Everybody that's been on that series has seen an uptick in visitors to their site, followers on their social media, and a huge uptick in streams. So he's technically doing that, showing love for people, getting them some bread right now. Because honestly, if we look at all the people that have been on Versus, they're not people that are necessarily relevant today, so to speak. They're more like 2000. We got T-Pain, Luda, Nelly. You know what I'm saying? They're more relevant. They're past their prime. Let me say that for the majority, if I can think of any off the top of my head. And so he's doing a form of what he's suggesting here with them right now. He had a goal for $1 million for each of the founders. And that's where it's going to get a little tricky. I'm not going to lie, because then you have to be like, okay, who's a founder? Are we only talking about Sugar Hill Gang, Grandmaster Flash, and Melly Mel? Kool Herc? Is that all we're talking about? Or are you talking about some other people? You can best believe some people will come out of the woodwork and say, I was there. Where's my check? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to get a lot of that. But I think the idea and the thought behind it is genius. It's similar to what Nori has been kind of trying to say. You know, hip hop needs a union. We need a flag. We need, you know, kind of our own govern type situation. So it's kind of leaning toward that. But I think it's genius, man. I'm fucking with Swiss heavy on this.
It is genius. And ground rules definitely. First of all, Flag is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that's real funny. Nori, he was off with that. He had the right concept, but he was off.
Shout out to David Banner and his Flag for hip hop. But you brought up a good point as far as people coming out of the woodwork and wanting their fair share and saying that they're four founders as well. Nori's idea ties into this brilliantly because you're able to go back if you have a hip hop union, figure out with some ground rules what you need to be accredited in this union or what you have to have to make sure, like just like the Actors Guild.
Yeah.
They got a Writers Guild, they got an Actors Guild, you can have a Rappers Guild. You can figure out the qualifications. And these people, like you said, you can go back, Kool Herc, and go to their catalogs. And if you meet the qualifications, then you should apply and you should be able to feel some type of pension from that. And then people who also are still active would have to pay dues into that. And it'd be all about protection, just like unions all over the world. So it can be done. And someone like Swiss would definitely be one of the people that I love to see heading it because he does have experience with leading different things outside of hip hop. He's on several boards for art museums and different things of that nature. He teaches in a couple of universities. I think he's on the board for Fashion Week. So I say that to say he has organizational skill to be able to put this in place. It's just putting some ground rules together and doing it.
And he can represent in any different lane and we not sit and roll our eyes at Swiss. Like Swiss, he can go on today's show and represent the culture in a good fashion. And he can also go to Breakfast Club and do the same thing. So
you know what? We may have stumbled upon, like, I know we were talking about who would run it and be the president. We said T.I., David Banner. Swiss might be that dude. Because like you said, man, Swiss can go on Good Morning America. And me, as someone who grew up in hip-hop or whatever it might be, I'm not going to be embarrassed at all if he's representing my point of views from hip-hop, from Good Morning America, or if he got to deal with somebody on CNN, even Fox News. I feel like Swiss would be one of the few people that could hold their own on any platform. So I agree with you.
Yeah, he can move in them rooms. And one thing I thought about that I don't understand the backlash. I didn't get the backlash. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you know how easy it would be if we just, let's just say it was 5 million, a million a piece for these people, because it's messed up that they walking around hurting right now. You know how easy that would be first of all, there's a million rappers that are signed to deals getting a ridiculous amount of money. The tax would be so small, they wouldn't even notice that it would be something coming. Like, it would be very small, and it would be more than enough to cover what it is, what he's trying to do in his mind. And so I think people overreacted. I haven't heard any artists talk about it, though. I'm interested to know what artists feel about this. I would love for somebody to ask either a vet like T.I. or a youngster like 21 Savage. Like, what y'all think about this? How you feel about this right here? If it was an extra $15 out of your check, out of your rap check, right, how would you feel if it went to the OGs that started this shit?
Right, I agree with you. And it makes it a lot more reputable, like we said. Like, people see that and they're like, oh, okay, they rapped. They got it.
Yeah. And so, real quick, though, the difference between U2 and Bon Jovi and all them is that that genre of music has a little bit of a head start on hip hop. So that music doesn't sound dated today. The reason Kool Herc and them can't travel and do shows on the scale of a Bon Jovi or U2 is because that music, the music has evolved so much past that it doesn't sound the same today. You know what I'm saying? Like, It doesn't have the same connection, and rap has evolved to a certain sound, which is why we can still watch a Versus with people from early 2000 and we can still watch it today and reminisce, because it's not that far off from modern music, hip hop that is today. But people don't rap like that no more. They don't rap anywhere near that. So it's not.
So do people still make music like you too in that genre? I'm not familiar. I don't know.
Well, no. That's a good question. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that sound is not that far off from what you people know. Are not, doing not saying now. Quality.
Like if I was to pull up a rock band that came out yesterday, they still would sound similar to some of those acts. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, you wouldn't be like
the truth in hip hop.
You wouldn't cut on if you're into rock. You wouldn't cut on a U2 song from '86 and go, man, what the fuck is this? Like? It wouldn't.
But it's gonna sound like a good rock song.
Yeah, it sounds like a good rock song.
As opposed to rap, right. As opposed to like, there's some songs that travel, like maybe Boys in the Hood, Summertime,
right.
Stuff like that, but going back to Kool Herc, I'm not sure what that would be.
It don't hit the same. And plus, hip hop wasn't on that big of a level back then, like an old U2 song would. Like they was already on a level right then. Everybody was getting money. They were already in front of a lot of people's faces. Kool Herc and them didn't have that luxury. They were quote unquote like indie, like local, relatively speaking, to where we are now, the number one genre in the world.
I think you rang up an interesting point from that, as far as like how rap is different from the other genres. With you have to, in order to be in tune with, I feel like, hip hop, you have to be abreast of the new artist. Like you can't just sit and say, "Well, shit, now I listen to Kool Herc or Big Daddy Kane, and that's what I rock with." And here it is, 2020. I'm 50 years old, and I'm listening to Kool Herc and Big Daddy Kane still. Like, if you were to call yourself a hip-hop fan,
right,
that wouldn't be, like, you can't do that. Like, you have to at least know who Lil Baby is, or you have to have listened to 21 Savage, even if it's just to say, well, I don't like it, I prefer this here.
Right.
Rock, country, other genres, you don't have to do that. You find your people you like, your band you like, and you listen to those albums, you're like, your whole life.
Jay is the first relevant 50-year-old rapper. Like, he's the first one. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we still relatively young in this. Like, this is new. It's new money for them. You know what I'm saying? Relatively speaking, it's 20 years. That's young.
I'd love to hear a thought. What is it? A think group or whatever it is with like kids listening to Jay album, like some 16 to 19. Just like as it was released, just what they think about it and everything. I bet that'll be a
when I have a 16-year-old, they're gonna know that shit by heart.
Some of them will. I mean, because you're probably going to put them on. There's some 16-year-olds out there that's like, who?
Yeah, that's a fact.
All right, next man. Your mans, Young Thug,
oh my God,
Slime, and Chris Brown put out a project, as you well know, because you were banging it in the whip.
Nope.
That project flopped. That project did not do well at all. In the meantime, Young Thug has been beefing with French Montana still. Sauce Walker is alleging him of running with a snitch with the whole Gunner situation. Tell me this.
Mm-hmm.
Is beef good or bad for Young Thug business right now?
Under normal circumstances, I'd say beef is bad for business. Mm-hmm. Man, but right now in this COVID world that we're in, where it's super unlikely anybody's running into anybody anytime soon, man, fuck it. Go for it. It's going to keep French Montana. It's going to keep Sauce Walker. It's going to keep Thug's name in the news cycle, dude. Like, I watched the Sauce Walker rant on IG. It was highly entertaining. And it made me go back and listen to a few joints on his Ghetto Gospel 2 album that I hadn't heard in a minute. So he got his rant just got him at least a couple streams from me. So I know if I did that, then other people did that. And some people may not know who he is that are in the Thug, and now they may check for his shit. Like, fuck it. Like, why not, dude? This is all talk, if it's ever been all talk. It is certainly all talk now. Sauce Walker wants to square up with Young Thug. Like, that's never going to happen.
That's funny.
So, fuck it, man. Like, just go ahead. French Montana tried to make a backhanded compliment or whatever for the Thug and Chris Brown numbers. I think they did, like, maybe 18, 19,000 first week. We know what Chris Brown does on a solo tip as far as numbers. We also know Young Thug can put numbers on the board. So, the fact that they put it out early, a couple of days early, they leaked it. That hurt their numbers. We all know that them niggas do numbers, though. So this beef is all for nothing. But I say go for it because it keeps people talking, man. Fuck, it's free promo at this point.
Seems like we're going to agree on the first two points here, because I definitely say Young Thug put the foot on the gas and just speed on, like just going down the beef lane, with, especially with these two. and I'm not knocking French Montana, his background. I'm not knocking that at all. But I just feel like the Young Thug is prepared. As you said, you brought up a great point. It's quarantine. Ain't nobody outside.
Nope.
But I think if we were outside, Young Thug is definitely prepared to run into niggas. He wanted a few niggas that I don't even question at all as to, like, okay, if this happened, is he going to be good? Because I feel like that he's going to be good just based off the folklore that's out there about him. If you come to Atlanta, you definitely will find out. So I say, like, yeah, have fun, because it doesn't seem like it's bothering him really either.
That's true.
I think he's entertaining and keeping it going, like you said, so his name can stay out there as well without him putting out music. I'm surprised it's with those names on this album that it did flop, but I don't see this as real beef for Thug, so he can keep it powering through. Sauce Walker, like, I hope people listen to it, find his music throughout this time, because if you like his style, you may like find a little gold mine there as far as going back and checking out his tapes, because Sauce definitely has something to say, so I fuck with him. But I just don't think it's much to do about nothing, and I think that Young Thug revels in it and loves this. He like, fuck it, bring it on.
Yeah, nah, he ain't scared
of running into niggas.
And see, French Montana, listen.
He too old, man. He too old for this shit, man. It's just like French Montana and him is just like Snoop and Tekashi. Then like, didn't you cheat on your wife? Shit, did Tekashi say back to Snoop? Because you respond to these trolls, you let them in to like say throw these low blows and shit like that. So like, don't even fuck with these niggas.
Yeah,
like don't even fuck with them.
He said some backward shit about the sales, but then in the middle of saying something about the sales, he said that he squashed the beef with Thug, and apparently not, because Thug clapped back at him just as quickly as he mentioned the damn Chris Brown album. And so I'm like, man, like Thug is having fun with it. He's loving this shit. He's here for this all day, every day on IG. I don't follow him, though. You can cancel that. But it comes across my timeline still. So, but beef, fuck it, man. I promise, if this was anything but a quarantine, I would say, man, this shit ain't really good for business. But right through this gap, man, fuck it. It's better than putting out a project and not being able to tour. This will keep the name alive through these next couple months. Yeah,
at least maybe you can put out some merch or some versus merch or beef merch or something like that. What we got next?
Man, next up, man, let's talk Griselda. Westside Gunn has been busy in this pandemic, man. We spoke on him signing a couple of new artists a few weeks ago. Well, you can add a 19-year-old Atlanta artist, YN Billy, to the list of new Griselda signees. Westside Gunn announced this on Twitter, along with the clip of Billy. Let's hear it and see if he's got a winner.
Hey, bitch, I'm still robbing and paying your rent. I'm a bet on the hoe while I'm playing the prank. Sick of my phone when I do it again. Triple it's all while I triple the brick. I don't wanna fuck, but she's sticking the head. Can't fuck with y'all niggas, y'all left me for dead. Can't find you a partner, I'ma shoot you instead. Black SOT, but the inside red. Turn the bed on the inside bed. I wanna fuck, give an inside sex. Glock on me, I live like that. Tatter my face, cause I'm lit like that. Take a few losses to win like that. Shoot your bitch, homie, get big like that. Grab it out, shotty, ain't built like that. Hunt around drum, I'ma hit like that.
All right, man, that was YN Billy, newest Griselda artist. Now, Twitter followers and Griselda fans took notice to the different sound that Billy had compared to what they're used to, and they let Gunn know it. Was this the right pickup for Griselda?
I think it is, man. I think it's the right pickup at the right time. If you're Westside Gunn, as I commended him when we talked about the Man of the Year episode, as we do each year, you got to figure out, now that people are saying the Griselda name, how do I broaden that? How do I get more people to pay attention? How do I get more people to listen? And that's by just not getting away from their sound that Benny Conway and him, he has. But when they sign a young lady,
yep,
they sign Boldy James, and then you sign this kid from Atlanta who sounds nothing like what they got in Griselda, but it's just broadening the spectrum of people who start navigating to their music, start paying attention to what they're doing. As Westside said, he's trying to be an executive in this. Mm. He looked up to like Baby, Cash Money, Big Timers, and he always said that he wanted to be on that side. Growing up in Atlanta, he was able to see how the bosses did it in the South. So I feel like him, he's trying to make that roster as effective as possible to meet as many different patches as possible. All of those patches of people yelling Griselda, broadened his name. So I think it's a great move. I think it's a great move for people to listen to and look at this and wonder, hey, what this kid, what is he going to sound like with Griselda? Now, if you weren't going to listen, you are going to listen because you're curious about how that sounds. I think he can use his formula to continue going down his path and even signing maybe some veterans, going down that MMG route, signing people to Griselda that you would really wonder, hey, how is this going to work? How would this mesh? And I'll throw a name out there that just crossed my head because we're talking about Atlanta and with a veteran. It may not be a big deal to a lot of people, but like someone like Young Scooter. So he in Atlanta, he got like the dope boy Atlanta style trap music that he's doing. They got some Buffalo style. I ain't listened to a Scooter mixtape. I know he still put them out.
Yeah.
I ain't listened to one in a while. But if he signed with Griselda, I would be like, what the fuck is that going to sound like? And as soon as they gave the release date and it dropped, I'm there because I want to know how that's going to sound.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good formula.
No, I could see it. It would add juice to you know, someone, a vet like that. Although you tripping, Scooter done put out these last like two or three been slick bang.
I ain't listening to all of them through, but I know he got some dope shit on there.
I'll say this though, this is Gunn diversifying his portfolio.
Niggas probably looked at they probably like, Scooter, who the fuck is these niggas talking about? Cut your ass. My bad. Go ahead.
Nah, but this is a smart play for Gunn, man. He's diversifying his portfolio. He's not putting his eggs all in one basket. You can only go so far with people with the sound that they have. And they have a very niche sound, and that's okay. That don't mean you can't boss up and have a diverse roster of sound. You can go to the West Coast. You can get you a West Coast Dom Kennedy laid-back type cat. You can go back up top. You can go to Midwest, get somebody from the Midwest. You can go to the South. You can do what – this is what I envisioned G-Unit was trying to do. 50 tried to do with G-Unit when he had G-Unit West and G-Unit South. And that's what it's giving me. It's giving me those vibes. And he was actually quoted as saying that he'd rather sign the hottest dude in Atlanta than sign a New York dude who's trying to sound like he's from Atlanta. So kudos to West Side Gunn for taking risks. Because this is a risk. Because trust me, he turned off probably 80% of his fan base with this play. But I think if you know West Side Gunn and you follow him like I'm sure his fans do, then you know what this play was about. Like just like how you said, he's trying to be on baby level. He was trying to get his executive hat on. So I'm not mad at the move. The song, however, is some slaw, and it is definitely too young for me, but yeah, I get what he's doing.
Yeah, I wasn't excited about it at all, other than, like I said, trying to figure out how it would sound with those guys.
They're not going to collab, though. I think this will be... See, there's a couple of ways you can go about the record label. You can go MMG with it, where it's like we're a collective and we're slick a group when we do our little album, but we really solo. Or you can do like a G-Unit, how he was trying to expand, and you can have different pockets of the country. You know what I'm saying? Or like how Def Row was trying to do that. Like you can do it like that. And you're related, but you're not just hand in hand like that. You know what I'm saying?
Subsidiary.
Yeah, you can be a subsidiary, but you're all connected in one movement and you're just a branch off of the Griselda tree. You can do that. Griselda South, nigga, that should be hard. Like,
I think that's dope, but you can't add the coach to it no more. Just leave the Griselda
because
it's even more appealing if you got a nigga from down here or from the West Coast that you couldn't imagine being with these Buffalo niggas and he yelling Griselda. That just like even adds to the lure, I think.
Yeah, no, I can respect that.
Fantastic. So, lastly, before we head to our breakdown of Future's album, Master P. Master P was definitely pissed off here lately because of some editing that was done on the series Growing Up Hip Hop. He went to the Instagrams and showed the original footage in comparison to the Growing Up Hip Hop footage and pointed out how these shows go to make people look bad. Should P expect this by now, or does he have a right to be pissed?
P has a right to be pissed, and there's one legitimate reason that he has, and I mean one reason only. P is listed as an executive producer on the show. His name and opinion should hold weight. Now, if he wasn't on the paperwork, if he was just the talent on the show, then you know, you're just one of the players in the game. You're not the coach. You're not the GM. You do what's told. But he's a shot caller on the show.
Is he?
And I feel like if it wasn't for that, his hands would be tied. But since he's a shot caller, yeah, he should feel some type of way, and he should have input on how his son and his storyline is played out to everybody else. He should be in the editing room with them, telling them how he want his people to look. I'm with him 100% on that. He has a right to be upset.
I disagree 100%, man. Master P's a vet in this game. He know how this shit goes. When you sign on to shows like this, then you sign it on for what they give you. Now, if you're in the position that P's in, like you said, where you can call some shots and you have editing privileges, or you can have editing, final editing say, then you negotiate that in the contract. I'm not here for P explaining shit on the back end, or like, well, this is what really happened, like that. You signed up for it. You signed a deal with the devil to do the reality shit, so you got to face, like, the music from it. P is way too intelligent and too advanced in this game for me to think that if he didn't want full editing control, or if he wanted it, he would have put it in his contract. I feel like going to a larger point of him not practicing what he preaches. P has never been the type of person to put these type of things in other people's hands. He's famous for that 80-20 deal. He's famous for being his own boss and making No Limit a household name. So do this shit on your own. Like, he shouldn't have to go to whoever does Growing Up Hip Hop. I don't know if it's Mona Scott or whatever network that it's on. Like, P should be doing this on his channel. Like, there are people that are interested in doing this. There are people that he could have partnered with where this type of creative difference doesn't happen at all. Like, he don't have to worry about it because it's people like him that are calling the shots, or that the bosses of who's putting this out. So I can't agree with P here, man. He going against everything that he preaches again, that he mad about what happened. I can't agree with him.
TMZ got video of him, quote unquote, arguing with the show producer about some of the fake drama over a manufactured storyline between Romeo and Angela Simmons. But I'm going to tell you what's funny about that shit. I was watching a couple of clips preparing for the episode, and I watched one. It was Romeo with some of his homeboys. They were talking about Angela, and out of nowhere, nigga, my gal chimes in across the room. If he feels like that, he should just say something. He acts so childish. I was like, damn.
What happened?
Oh, but here's the thing. That's the reaction that the producers are looking for. This is why they're creating those storylines, to keep people engaged and watching and wanting to know what happened. Do they get together? Do they break up? Like, that audience is here for that. So the producers are doing what they know best. That's a proven formula of storytelling, which is the love story aspect of the shit. So it's working on that end because she watches the show. So it's like, for that audience, they're here for that. She don't give a shit about P and them looking, quote unquote, positive or what, because she's not necessarily looking at that as in a negative light. But P didn't like that they were trying to manufacture that relationship when they really not even talking like it.
But that's the deal, that's the deal that you sign up with. Like you said, those people are trying to push a TV show. Like, exactly. It's cool, P. It's cool that you on here and you're selling Miati shoes, and that you're pushing your sons to play basketball and doing the black dad thing like LeVar Ball did. Like, all of that is absolutely great. Those people have no interest in portraying that part of you.
That's a fact.
None at all. And he knows that coming into it, but I think he feel like, all right, if I do this, I'm going to be able to play them, get the Miatis on screen. Ain't nothing bad going to come from this because I'm too smart. They ain't going to catch me in this position. And boom. Magic trick with the editing, a little here, there. Now they caught you in this position. So like, I never felt like P, like, big fan, call him Uncle P. I never felt like he was the type of person that's going to come out and try to cop plea. Well, excuse me, not cop a plea, but ask you to feel sorry for him. He a boss. Like, you made a mistake. You gave him the opportunity to be able to do this. They did it. What can you say?
Romeo been on the show since 2015. And what's crazy though, man, I met this dude one time who was a cameraman for Housewives, and I said, hey, how much of that stuff is staged? He was this white dude, he was from like another country, had this crazy ass accent. I said, how much of that stuff is staged? And he was like, bro, and this isn't going to shock a lot of people, maybe some. He was like, man, it's all produced, all of it. Like, they go, hey, go sit over there. And when you sit down, mention something about her husband and ask her about da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, they tell them what to say, and they control pretty much the direction of the entire show. And so I understand maybe P didn't know what he signed up for. I don't know.
He know. He didn't seen this shit before.
Maybe he,
because he referenced all the other stuff. Yeah, like, people are going to say I'm caping here because this is my man's, but if P don't want to start a TV station, like, Puff is out there, Dame Dash is out there, like, why haven't Dame Dash and P put something together? If
this we don't need to see the Dame Dash and P.
I'm looking for the Dame Dash and P collaboration.
No,
like, he can put this, take this over to Dash Media.
No, absolutely not.
You know what I'm saying? He can run it there. But all jokes aside, man, P too much of a boss for me to care about him having these type of problems. It's just him making a mistake with the contract.
He executive producing it, man. He bossed up. He just not bossed up enough.
That's a full title.
Let's talk Future, dude. Yo boy, High Off Life. That's the name of the new Future project. Expectations going into this Future, man. What were you thinking going into? Were you excited? I know you were.
Absolutely not. And that's not saying that in any hating sense, but when you get my age, you start to realize who's making stuff for you. Future is not making music for me at all. Secondly, he's not making music for quarantine. So I wouldn't excite. Future may get out, associate with people music.
That's
so
true.
So I really wasn't thinking that this was going to hit that hard. And my first initial thought was he was probably going to be some throwaways, something that he had sitting in the tuck and was going to drop anyway. Because we were referenced several times on other episodes during this, that, like, who is going to be the major artist to try to put out an album through this? The Baby did it. He was okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't what he has expected. Lil Baby has done actually well, and Uzi has done well. So the older acts like Future was kind of worried how they're going to look if they drop during quarantine. And that's what I was wondering about initially, not even the music per se, because I know that's not for me, actually. What'd you think?
Yeah, my expectations were medium to low. This is his eighth album, right? And you know, who knows how many mixtapes he's had in between sprinkled into that. I have wanted to write Future off for probably the last 3 years now. We were supposed to get, or at least we thought we were getting, another collab project with Drake at the beginning of the year. We didn't get it. We got teased with a song and maybe one or two leaks. That was about it. And then we get this project, and I look at it, and it's 20 joints on here, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I didn't know if I could sit through a 20-track Future project in 2020 when there's 20 Futures out right now that rap and sound just like them. So every time I want to listen to a new project, I count them out early. My expectations are always low, I'm not going to lie. And with that being said, my initial thoughts, the first five or so songs, I was ready to chalk this up as same shit, different day. You know what I'm saying? However, when it started to heat up at about number six, number seven, it really picked up steam and I really started to like it. Again, I want to write him off so bad, but every time he usually delivers something at least tolerable, if not flat out banging. And in my opinion, this one is no exception.
I don't know about that, but what I will say, 20 songs was definitely intimidating.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Coming into this, knowing this ain't the type of, you know, music that I'm necessarily catering to right now in my life, but I did like that intro. Like, Future's always good for that slick shit. So he caught me right out the gate with Trapped in the Sun. Then he went, I kind of feel like, back to that DS2 formula with High Tech, Touch the Sky, Solitaries, Ride Strikers. I feel like I had heard all of those songs before.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Then, like you said, we get to six. And one of my posted with Demons, Trillionaire, Hard to Choose One. Then
all
it started
turning.
All of them go hard. It started turning around for me as far as what he was saying. Because even though Future does give you a lot of the same stuff repackaged, and I mean, if you can sell it, sell it. Why not?
Yeah.
He does give a little more introspect on a couple of these albums that I named right there in the meat of it, till he's growing up a little bit. And I don't even mean just like how people refer to him as being toxic, but I mean just growing up and becoming wiser, dropping the gems in the music, where you be like, damn, you just said that.
You're right.
And you'll walk away from it like just surprised by that. So that's was my initial takeaway with what I heard running through it at first.
Yeah, like in a world where people are doing their best Future impersonation, a lot of people, he always drops and reminds me that you can't outshine the master. Like,
yep, can't none of them do it like Future though.
You can't do Future like Future can do Future. Like that's the bottom line. And this album showed me how much of an influence he's really had on the culture. Like, there's a song on here, "Hard to Choose One," which is banging. I really fuck with that. But and this is gonna sound weird. He sounds exactly like Gunna on there. When in actuality, Gunna sounds damn near exactly like Future. Like, he's a branch off of the Future tree. And that's not necessarily even a knock on Gunna, because he's carved out a nice lane for himself. But go back and listen to Hard to Choose One. It's impossible to not hear Gunna on there. And that's probably one reason why I don't resonate with Gunna's music like that, is because it's too closely related to what Future has done and has mastered on his own. So that was just another example. That song is fire, by the way. Like, that, I run that a lot. The pianos is crazy. What were some of the highlights on the project for you?
Some of the highlights, I kind of touched on them a little bit earlier when we were talking about how our initial reactions were. But I really did like, I'm pulling it back up now. I really did like one of my, I like Posted with Demons. Posted with Demons is probably my favorite song on there. And Pray for a Key was dope for me.
Pray for a Key. He's done that song like 10 times. I'm going to be real.
He has, but I liked it. I ain't going to lie. And Hard to Choose One was okay. But my favorite, I would go with one of my Posted with Demons, the Trillionaire song, Hard to Choose One. Those are the ones that I walked away with. I'm like, okay, I'm fucking with these. Everything else, either was it, like you said, sounded like recycled old Future stuff, or it's just like too much of it out there, even though it's Future. It's just, I don't want to hear it because it sounded like a lot of other songs. But those are my standouts. What stood out to you?
Up the River, banging.
That's traditional. I forgot that.
That's traditional fire Future right there. Posted with Demons is also dope. But my favorite song on there is Too Comfortable. Songs like that get your merch copped. That shit is fire.
Get like, your merch cop. That's funny.
Absolutely. Like, I almost pulled the trigger on the hoodie off of that song. Like, that motherfucker is tough. That's on repeat. Them drums is crazy. And real quick, I actually like the bonus joints on there at the end. I thought those were tough. The song with Meek was bad. The song with Dirk. I actually liked it. And I don't even really like Lil Dirk, but that song was hard. The Life is Good remix is cool. I know we already heard that, but it's cool. I hadn't listened in a minute. So I thought he picked some solid little bonus joints. Those are usually trash, but
yeah, I forgot all about that remix.
Yeah, I did too. I had completely forgot about it, and it was cool to hear it again. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll fuck with this. So the project was dope. Shout out to Life is Good, though, for causing this to go gold in like an hour, because the streams already counted toward that with him and Drake. So that was a smart play. I love when artists brag on that, as if the public isn't hip to that shuck now.
Right.
Like Future was like, yeah, gold.
I would go in 10 minutes. It's been 30 minutes. Life is Good is on there, bro. We know.
It's because your single is on. Like, you could have got away with that about 2 or 3 years ago. Like, damn, nigga went gold in an hour? That shit. We know now, bro. We know, man, the shuck is in, my nigga. Like, relax.
Right.
What didn't work for me, the Travis Scott song. He's been on the win streak lately. But that Solitaire's joint with him, that's not it. The High Tech Tech and the Riding Strikers, all those joints, as you notice, are at the beginning of the project. Those did not work for me at all. Those were throwaways. Those sounded like bonus songs. I could have done without that. I know it's Travis Scott. You got to put them all here. But that was a weak Travis Scott verse and song. So those were my lowlights. What didn't work for you?
The Travis Scott song. If you're going to get a Travis Scott feature, that 100% shouldn't be it. Yeah. You got to do something different with that. I didn't like High Tech or Touch the Sky. Those two, like, it's recycled. It sounds like old Future. Some shit he had for other albums and just threw it in there to make this 20 songs that had to meet a minute mark or something. Those two, like, those just did not work for me. Outer Space B. Outer Space B.
That's banger,
like,
though.
I ain't really like that.
Nah, that's banger.
I'm good. But again, I know what he made for me, and I know what I can pick through on here. So I wasn't mad at him, but ones that I'm going to immediately skip over, like the BP, the beats per minute, or is that what you call it?
BPM.
Yeah, that's too fast for me on some of those. I'm like, fuck that. I'm out. So High Tech Tech and Touch the Sky, mainly the ones that stood out that I didn't like at all. Of that tempo.
If you go back and think of when Future first came out, would you have pictured him on his 8th album and still kind of in the same relevant space that he's in? Because the numbers are, the projected numbers are in and they're looking good for him. So it's like, I'm trying to think if I would have peeped this, that 170 to 185 is the forecast.
I tell you, when I feel like did I think that when I first heard him, or are you saying did I ever think that?
When you first heard him.
What was it? Based on a true story?
Yeah. Dirty Sprite, like maybe.
I feel like I knew he would be a star.
I don't believe that.
Ain't no way. Let me finish.
Okay.
When ain't no way around it. When that was getting like the rotation, I ain't saying I knew he was going to be Future Hendrix or whatnot, but when that Ain't No Way Around It and that Tony Montana, the Tony Montana remix really did it. When Drake hopped on the Tony Montana remix, like he was out of there. I knew he was going to be like for at least a while because it was just unique. It was different in the sense of it wasn't auto-tune. It wasn't just flat out straight rapping. It was kind of like some of that swag stuff at the very beginning, like swag rap. And he was working on perfecting it. So I would say with the Tony Montana remix, what about you?
Little known black history fact, that's probably one of the worst Drake features. That song made no sense.
I don't know Drake ripped that, did it?
What?
No, I can't even remember Drake verse.
That song, he didn't belong on that song. That was an industry play.
Yeah, it was Drake. Why not have him on it?
Yeah, that single was on a mixtape, but they wanted that single to be for his album. So they went and got whoever you would go get when you have an album single, whether it makes sense or not. And they got Drake on a Tony Montana song. Like, bro, no, fam. And Future ripped that too. Fresh off the banana boat.
He was
ripping that.
I came straight from the east where niggas put your cantaloupe. He was ripping.
I don't need Drake on a song about a dope kingpin. Like, it doesn't make sense at all. Like, they threw him a stupid bag, I'm sure. And so he was like, shit, I bet. Thank you.
I don't even remember how Drake verse went.
Bro, his verse was some slaw. That song doesn't fit him at all. Like, I don't know. I was going to say I don't know whose idea that was, but that was somebody on the 36th floor at Epic in Manhattan that was like, let me take the hottest rap or one of the up-and-coming hottest rappers and throw him on this song right here. And Future probably didn't even meet for that song, bro. He probably just email shit, bro.
Yeah, I think it was something about the video, too, why they never ended up using like Drake to show up for the video. Like, I think that's how they got cool or something. It's some weird story behind
it. Oh, there's a story behind it.
Yeah, some weird story behind that song and a video about Drake not showing up. And then that's how they were able to do that album, What a Time to Be Alive, just based off the interaction from this and the video not happening.
Yeah,
so y'all look that shit up and Google that shit.
That song, that wasn't it for Drake.
I got to go back and listen to Drake verse now.
But, that was a lot of people's first time really hearing Future, though. Like, on some real, because it worked. You know what I'm saying? But we was already on the mixtapes. I remember niggas hitting me like, the song Drake on, it's Tony Montana show hard. I was like, man, we've been on that.
Yeah, because ain't no way around it was banging. That shit was fire. But what put him on was that Rax, though. I can't YC. Even remember that nigga name, YC.
Yeah, that's what Rax. Put him on.
Yeah, that Rax got him in there.
Now, rating time. This is going to be my first time ever. I have actually two ratings for this project.
What?
Yeah, two ratings. Generally speaking, it's three reels. It's good, worth streaming because the replay value is low and it's not a ton of substance. But if you're a Future fan, this is 3.5. It's banging. So you have to weigh it on two different scales, dude. I can't play this for somebody, generally speaking, that doesn't follow Future like that and be like, nigga, this shit hard. They're going to look at me like, that's the same song. What are you talking about? But for a Future fan, that you get his vibe and where he's coming from and you know his history and you know the type of music that he makes, this is top tier, high quality future music. So I'd have to give it 3.5 banging. What about you?
I'm not going to give it that much distinction for you to decide between the two, because you are right. But I think hip hop fans are very rare, so I got to acknowledge it. But hip hop fans have to be able to decide what's for them and what's not. And if it's not for you, don't call it trash just because it ain't your type of shit. So with taking that into consideration, I'm going to give it Good Work Streaming, which is 3 mics.
Mm.
And because, like I said, I feel like the future fans know what it is, and they're going to ride for it regardless. He got one of the strongest fan bases out there. I know we talked about that a little last week. But just in passing, there's some good-ass songs on there that only someone like Future could make in the same vein of what everybody else is doing, and he's just doing it the best. So I'm going to give it 3. It's definitely worth checking out, and you're going to get some good content out of it, even though you may not save the album.
This is a good soundtrack if you're on the move for the night.
Yeah,
like you can let this go.
If we were out, if you were out doing something or whatever, got some friends over, it's quarantine, and y'all 6 feet social distancing, you can have this playing in the background. Definitely had this crack.
Shout out to Future, man. He even tried his attempt at some transparency with it, accepting my flaws, man. I said, look at Future, man.
I'll skip.
Now, that's what?
I'll skip.
Man, that song was banging. What are you talking about?
I ain't here for Future putting his heart on his sleeve.
He got some kids, man. He got to say something, man. Even he admitted, like, this is a mess. I'm not going to lie.
That's funny.
And he said, this shit is a mess, man. Look, fuck, man. I know. God damn.
That shit, that's nigga. Funny.
But he did what Future does best, and that's mindless head-nodding entertainment, man. Like, he can do that, bro. You can nod to this all night long. It had the same little bounce. It's cool, man. Like, you can club hop to this shit.
That's a fact.
That y'all let us know, man, what y'all thought about that Future. Go to Facebook in the rap chat. Jump in there. Give us your opinions. Are we on point with it, man? 3.5, 3. Are you completely out on Future? Or are we tripping? Is this a classic Future Hive? The Future Hive probably says it's a classic. But we got a couple wins and some losses to hand out. We got a W to Common. He started the hashtag WeMatter2 campaign, urging jails to release inmates whose sentences are mostly completed during the pandemic, since social distancing is near impossible in jail. Shout out to Common on the prison reform wave right now.
Yeah, that's dope. That's really dope. I think the initiative is good. I love to see him work with Meek, who's already got the initiative going, and just being able to put the powers together and keep this pushing instead of letting people ride in jail for nonviolent offenses. Definite W to him.
And I like that there's not just one face of a movement. You can have multiple people going in on, like, Jay and Roc Nation, and Yo Gotti was down in Mississippi on some prison reform shit. You know what I'm saying? Meek obviously is running that, is waving that flag. And then you got Common doing shit too. So you can do it all over the place. Kim K, you know, if you want to add her in there. People chipping in from all angles. It doesn't have to be one person that's the go-to.
She doing her thing.
Another W to Eminem and DMX, maybe. Nori took to IG and said that Eminem versus DMX versus might be on deck. If you remember, X challenged Jay-Z to a battle. We haven't heard from Hov yet, but
don't expect to.
Eminem and X said that they are with it. Is this a good matchup?
Hell no, man.
Damn.
I just don't, and I ain't saying that Eminem is not a dope artist or DMX isn't. I just don't, again, think this would be entertainment. Showmanship is a big part of this. Eminem is going to be on there kissing DMX ass. And oh, you're so great, and this and that. And I don't think that it would be good IG content. The catalogs may match up. People may be able to put 20 songs together and make that sound good, cool. But as far as content and sitting there watching it for 2 hours, man, I'm not trying to see Eminem and DMX. It would be cool because Eminem is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that his type of funny is going to resonate with DMX. Mm. And that just won't die. Well, actually, that might be entertaining.
Yeah, it might be a train wreck.
it may be an absolute train wreck, which would be entertaining. So I don't know if that's good for the culture or not, because seeing Eminem and DMX beef on IG Live would be in the headlines during quarantine for the next month. So yeah, I'm good. I would like to see Eminem do a versus battle. I would like to see DMX do one. Maybe if Swiss were there with him, maybe some Rough Rider shit, something like that, but not them versus each other at all.
Yeah, I don't think they're a good matchup musically. Like you're going to play Stop, Drop, Open Up Shop against Hi, My Name Is, like, it just like, what? No, that's not, who the fuck is picking Hi, My Name Is over any, like, it's, and I like the song, but like, come on, man. Like, it just, DMX like made anthems and hard shit, and Eminem made shit about putting his mom in the trunk. Like, I like both. I'm a fan of both artists, but it just, that's not a good matchup to me. Similar to Luda and Nelly, because Luda dog walked Nelly, and we knew that wasn't a good matchup, but they put it together anyway, and we don't need to see two murders, two battles in a row.
Nelly needed me there to pick the songs for him, best first off.
Nelly doesn't have 20 to choose from.
Nelly's problem was placement.
No.
It wasn't that he can't beat Ludacris in a battle. It's just that he wasn't prepared. Like, Nelly looked like he just was like, oh, are we doing this today? Like, bro, I've been promoing this for a week. Like, come on, bro. Like, what are you doing? Nelly did frustrate me in that sense. I didn't get to hit on it on IG Live, so I'm glad you brought that back up. But he just was ill-prepared. You going against a nigga like Ludacris. Ludacris is a nerd, man. He probably started preparing for this as soon as they started promoing. He had a list of songs that he want to play, songs that he was going to play if Nelly played this song, songs if he was going to play if he didn't play this song. Like, he probably had 6 or 7 different this right there. He dressed up for it. Ludacris was all in. He should have won.
That's playing chess. That's what that's called.
No, that's, you have nothing better to do. Nelly's still out here in these streets, nigga, getting to it.
Oh, shit. No, that shit was funny. That shit was funny. The memes and the gifs and the jokes on Twitter for Nelly's reception were classic.
That was good. Yeah, that was good. Yeah. I know Nelly hot, too, because he don't seem like he got a good sense of humor.
He get mad quick
and just go all left. He's like, bro, just playing, bro. Like, oh, fuck that. We finna fight. That seem like Nelly, they're definitely that type of nigga. Look, in a versus battle, DMX and Eminem, in a round, you have Slipping versus Stan. Which round wins? Who wins that round?
That's rough. Because I'm a huge fan of both of those records. And although Slipping, I'd have to go Stan.
Somebody listen to that as soon as we can.
Yeah, that's a classic. That's a classic. But I'm going to go Stan just because that's probably top 3 hip-hop stories. And there's been a lot of really good stories. And that would get the nod barely, but I'd hate to choose between that, though. I fuck with them songs heavy.
On Deckers, y'all let us know on one of the social media platforms who wins that round, DMX versus Eminem, Slipping versus Stan.
That shit crazy. And then Stan came to life later on. Like, this shit wild.
Yeah, that's hard.
One more W, man, to Deontay Hitchcock. His long-awaited debut album, Better, dropped this week on RCA Records. Did you check it out?
I haven't gotten to it yet, actually. I added this note on here and still haven't checked out the album. He's been promoting it for a while. I hope it's good because I've been waiting on it. I've really been holding back because I don't want to be disappointed. I've been holding back just a little bit. I plan on listening to it tonight, though. But I do like what Dante's doing. I like him promoing it. I seen the cover art for it. It looked really good. So I'm 100% on board for it. I'll let you know how it sounds on one of the reviews.
Shout out to Deontay Hitchcock. He's probably Atlanta's best-kept secret. He can rap his ass off.
That's a fact.
Like, dude can spit. Like, I get to him. He's most known for doing his in-car freestyles. That's how he actually got signed, by doing those freestyles in the whip. So, y'all check out Deontay Hitchcock project, man. It's called Better. Would love to have him on the show to talk about it.
Yeah, we need to get that done.
On Decker of the Week, man. Hey, listen, guys. We have a special 350th episode. We just celebrated 7 years deep in the game last week. We are doing a mailbag episode. Shout out to everyone who has already submitted questions. Y'all are the On Deckers of the Week. But you still have an opportunity to submit questions, IG, Twitter, DM, email, ondecktv@gmail.com, Facebook. Hit us up between now and next week, and we'll get your questions in the mailbag episode. It's going to be lit.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait. This is your guys' chance to be a part of the show. So like you said, questions have been pouring in since we did the little soft release of we were doing this 350. So we're giving back to you guys that have been listening for a long time. You know, it's something you always wanted to ask. Shoot it over on any one of the platforms, and we'll answer it, man. We plan on having a lot of fun with these. So send over some dope questions that we can get in-depth to. That way you can learn a lot more about the On Deck TV podcast and the Realville Media Group as a whole, and that'll keep you locked in with us. So we look forward to that mailbag episode, man. It's going to be lit.
Absolutely, man. Put me on something.
I am reading The Four Agreements.
It's a classic.
Facts. And I mentioned this book probably before on this podcast. This is my second time reading it through. Specifically, Don't Take Things Personal chapter. I feel like every now and then, if you get a good book, like you immediately said, that's a classic. If you feel yourself kind of getting out of whack, we've been quarantined, it's kind of hard to stay on a good accord or what you would say, just mentally. So I just picked that up and started reading through it. First one is, of course, Be Impeccable With Your Word. That one was a good reread, but really the Don't Take Things Personal. It's easy to get in your head and think that motherfuckers are attacking you, and then you walk around with a grudge on or whatever it may be, and life's a lot better if you don't take shit personal.
Yeah, so, that book is Four Agreements. Fucking fire.
It is. It's great. Great book.
I'm going to keep it to the small screen. I watched over the weekend Contagion from 2011, and I've already seen it, but this movie hit so different during this quarantine.
You fell into the trap.
Y'all have to watch. Like, first of all, it's a fire movie, ensemble cast, you know what I'm saying? Matt Damon, Lawrence Fishburne, Gwyneth Paltrow, Sanaa Lathan, Bryan Cranston. Like, it's a fire movie, but it's so close to what's going on today that it's almost eerie, dude. Like, please, y'all check that out when y'all have a free hour and 45 minutes. It's a super dope movie. They even use the term social distancing in there, which completely fucked me up because I don't remember it the first time I saw it. I was like, oh, shit. I thought that was a term that niggas just made up now.
That's funny as hell.
I didn't know that was an actual thing.
That ain't the one with the monkey, is it? Outbreak.
Nah, that's Outbreak. That's a classic too, though.
I don't remember this. I don't know if I've
seen Contagion.
I don't think so.
You got to watch
it. I seen that Matt Damon clip you sent to the group chat, but I don't think I ever seen this.
Nah, you got
to
watch it.
Especially Bryan Cranston. And I know I didn't even know who Bryan Cranston was until Breaking Bad.
Yeah, me neither, though. I ain't know that either. And
did you double back on Malcolm in the Middle, though?
Absolutely not.
He's a beast on there. It's way different from what you think it is. I promise you. It's worth them 30 minutes or whatever the episode is. I promise you. I ain't even get to finish it. I need to almost walk it back up, actually.
Super good on Malcolm in the Middle. You know that?
I do not believe it.
But no, check out that Contagion. That's a good watch, especially now. Like it show every perspective of a pandemic. From the doctor to the skeptical to the conspiracy theorist to the nurse. Like, it's dope, man. Just check it out. You know, I like perspective movies. So it's highly recommended, man. You ain't got shit else to do, y'all. Might as well check it out.
I'll definitely check that out.
Hey, man, another week in the books, as you say. Don't forget, episode 350 is next week. Y'all shoot us y'all emails, y'all DMs, any question. It don't necessarily got to be hip-hop related. It can be. That's fine. But it can be anything, honestly, just as long as it's a good question.
Anything. Yeah, anything you guys have been wanting to know about the host of the On Deck TV podcast, we love to hear. Remember, send us over your questions. We plan on having fun with this mailbag episode. Again, we appreciate you guys rocking with us for 7 years. Many more ones to come, only getting bigger and better. Check us out on all the platforms that you usually check us out on. Look for us doing more stuff up to come. We appreciate you guys. Stay safe during the quarantine and social distance. Wash your hands.
All right, we out, man.
Yep.